Thank you, Alep, for your kind introduction. It is a great pleasure for me to join my colleagues to speak in this influential forum on a topic which says, bringing integrity back to the table, the value of principled leadership. South Africa is currently experiencing trust deficit between the government and the people. The IFP has engaged a vital conversation with South Africa. Through our participation here at BizNews 6, we hope to go deeper into that conversation for the sake of our country. I am mindful as I speak today that my session is bookended by Honorable Mr. Steenhuisen, who has just spoken, and by Mr. Mashaba, who will speak next. Both are my colleagues in the multi-party charter for South Africa. We, the signatories in the multi-party charter, intend to work together as a coalition government in 2024, bringing real and fundamental change to South Africa. The moment the electorate rejects a failed ANC government, which we and countless experts believe will happen on 29 May 2024, the multi-party charter is ready to take over the reins of government and provide our country with the leadership it needs. South Africa's constitution provides just 14 days in which to form a coalition government once the results have been released. That is why the signatories of the multi-party charter have already committed not merely to forming a government, but to the governance principles that will underpin our administration. We, as the leaders of signatories to the multi-party charter, have been meeting consistently for many months since May last year to find one another and to ensure stability in our working relationship. We are at advanced stage of readiness, which will enable South Africa to be governed efficiently, justly, and well, right from day one after the elections in May. The Charter has agreed on a high-level approach to the five most pressing crises in South Africa. Mr. Steenhuisen, Mr. Mashaba, and I will in fact be together tomorrow for a joint press conference in one of the highest crime areas of the Western Cape. We will present a charter's government's approach to securing law and order, to end crime, corruption, and drugs. By presenting our shared approach in advance to growing the economy, ending the energy crisis, combating crime, creating a public professional service, and delivering basic services, the Charter is enabling voters to know what they are going to get when they vote for a Charter party. Having said that, however, each party within the multi-party charter is contesting these elections individually. Our party logos will appear separately on the ballot paper, and a vote for the IFP will go to the IFP. Each of our parties has its own brand, its own background, and its own set of offerings to the electorate in 2024. As leaders, we are campaigning for votes for our own party because the relative strength of each party in the coalition government will determine the strength of our individual influence as we collectively administer governance. It thus matters a great deal whether the voter who wants a charter government votes for the IFP, for the DA, for the ACDP, for the EFF, for the FF Plus, or Action SA, or any of the other signatories to the multi-party charter. So Mr. Steenhuisen, Mr. Mashaba and myself are unapologetically asking you to vote for our party rather than any of others, because we believe that our own party has something valuable to offer in the next government of South Africa, and we all believe that our own contribution is the most valuable. So my task today is really to tell you why the IFP must become a dominant voice in the government of our country at both provincial and national level. I have chosen, therefore, to speak to you on the subject of principled leadership and why South Africa needs to bring integrity back into the table. The IFP is known as a party of integrity. It has been our proudest and most fiercely protected attribute that the people of South Africa can trust us. We have provided a leadership of integrity for almost 50 years through the liberation struggle and through 30 years of democracy in South Africa. The IFP may not be the oldest liberation movement, but we have long outlasted our struggle peers in terms of consistency of principle. We have remained true to our foundational values, believing that integrity, servant leadership, and accountability are vital to fulfilling the role we have been called upon to play in the political arena. The IFP is therefore a known quantity. We have been tried and tested, and we have always proven ourselves worthy of trust. It is easy for anyone to criticize government and to base their message on the failings of the ANC. Opposition parties are spoiled for choice when looking for a hook on which to hang our message that change is needed. A collapsing economy, an unstable energy supply, crippling debt, excessive violence, massive unemployment. It will be easy to campaign on the basis of what is wrong in our country. But the IFP, even in opposition, has taken a role of a constructive opposition. We bring solutions to crises rather than just summarily of our nation's woes. We are able to identify solutions and know what will work because the IFP has existed, has extensive experience in government. Even before 1994, Inkatha Freedom Party, the then Inkatha, administered the government in the then KwaZulu for 19 years. In 1994, as South Africa entered democracy, the IFP became part of the government of national unity on the basis of more than 2 million votes. For the first 10 years of democracy, from 1994 to 2004, the IFP led the provincial government of KwaZulu-Natal. We held ministerial positions in the cabinet of both President Mandela and President Mbeki. The IFP has thus played a powerful role, not only in the liberation of our country, but in the transformation of the full body of policy and legislation from a segregationist framework to a democratic, just, and equitable framework for governance. At every step along the way in this long journey of saving South Africa, the IFP has acted on principle and in the best interest of good governance. We were known at the constitutional negotiating table as the champion of federalism, although I am sure our opponents had more colorful way of describing the IFP's obstinate insistence on the devolution of powers. It was the IFP that insisted on the creation of provinces in South Africa. The IFP was alone in focusing on the form of state, insisting that it be discussed at the negotiating table. While the ANC and the National Party government were merely concerned about the how and the when of the exchange of power, the IFP wanted to ensure that the South Africa we are shaping will not merely be politically free, but also socially just, economically viable, and administratively efficient. The inclusion of provinces in the Constitution of South Africa was ultimately a victory of the IFP. Because of the IFP, the position of the provincial premiers was created. When the ANC's Mr. Tokyo Sekgwalo became the first premier in Gauteng in 1994, he alluded to this bonus when he told the IFP, open quote, "We like your leader because he shakes up the trees and we pick up the apples," close quote. This was said by Tokyo Sekgwalo when he became the premier of Gauteng. The IFP has never been afraid to stand on the side of principle, regardless of who it angers, and regardless of whether we benefit from the outcome. I am sure you all know that the IFP's founder, the late Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, was willing to sacrifice the IFP's role in a democratic South Africa in order to have everyone represented at the negotiating table. When the National Party government came to accept that its oppressive system of government had no future, it approached Prince Buthelezi as a representative of the oppressed masses within South Africa to begin bilateral negotiations towards a democratic South Africa. Prince Buthelezi was the established face of the liberation struggle within South Africa. Internationally, it was widely expected that he would become our country's first black president. And I must add that this was widely welcomed because Prince Buthelezi championed a free market economy and opposed to communism. He was seen as both rational and stubborn. These are two qualities one needs in a champion. Had he entered into a bilateral negotiations with the South African government prior to 1994 on behalf of the disenfranchised majority, there is no doubt that Prince Buthelezi would have become the first president of a democratic South Africa. But he declined to negotiate. He instead tabled a firm prerequisite for two negotiations. He demanded that first, political parties must be unbanned, exiles must be allowed to return, and political prisoners must be released. Everyone should be brought to the negotiating table if we're to forge a truly democratic dispensation. He dug his heels in, surrendering personal ambition until eventually President F.W. de Klerk was forced to announce the release of Mandela and other political prisoners and the unbanning of other political parties. When he spoke in Parliament on the 2nd of February 1990 and announced this decision, President de Klerk thanked only Prince Buthelezi by name for having helped him reach the conclusion that this was the only way forward. It was thus not surprising to us in the IFP that President Mandela, at the first opportunity, he appointed Prince Buthelezi acting President of the Republic of South Africa. In fact, Prince Buthelezi played that role of the acting president of our country more than 22 times over the subsequent 10 years. Interestingly, it is often the actions for which he was most vilified that point to his absolute integrity. In Parliament, even now, when the ANC was eyed by my response to the State of the Nation debate, one of their ministers tried to defame Prince Buthelezi for us, as he put it. Prince Buthelezi is remembered for only invading Lesotho, not mentioning the great work of integrity he contributed in our country. In reality, this is what happened to what the minister was referring to. President Mandela and Prince Buthelezi were together at the SADC meeting in Mauritius in 1998 when rumblings of a threatened coup d'etat arose in Lesotho. To prevent the rising number of coup d'etats in Africa, SADC had resolved not to recognize any military juntas. As chairperson of SADC, President Mandela was obliged to implement SADC resolutions. But within hours, Mandela will be leaving for the United States while Deputy President Mbeki will be in Singapore. Much to the chagrin of his party, President Mandela appointed Prince Buthelezi as acting president, which transferred unto Buthelezi both the role of acting chair of SADC and the obligation to implement SADC's resolution. Prince Buthelezi acted with integrity. In constant consultation with Mandela, he engaged Botswana's President Mohae and then Prime Minister Mosisili and His Majesty King Letsetsi III of Lesotho called him to say that the coup was imminent in Lesotho. SADC soldiers from both Botswana and South Africa were then mobilized. 2 years later, when King Letsetsi III got married, Prince Buthelezi was welcomed with African heads of state at Maseru's Setsozo Stadium, and the announcement of his presence, the stadium shook with adulation and applause. Afterwards, during the VIP launch, judges and business people thanked Prince Buthelezi, saying, "You averted bloodbath in Lesotho." Many times in his long life, Prince Buthelezi must have thought back to the words of the esteemed Jordan Kushungubane, who wrote to him, "Appoint his appointment as Prime Minister to the King Cyprian Bekuzulu ka Solomon." Kubane warned Buthelezi with the following words, open quote, "I know you are going to make many enemies. You will be misunderstood, and you might even find yourself disgraced. That is the lot of those who build the new Africa, close quote. Every leader in the IFP draws inspiration from Prince Buthelezi for his principles because he modeled integrity in leadership and was absolutely firm in keeping corruption out of our party and out of our politics. He would not tolerate any abuse of power, no matter how insignificant. Throughout almost three decades in which the IFP administered governance, when we entered democracy in 1994, the IFP asked South Africa to consider our track record. There had been not a whiff of corruption for 19 years in the governance of KwaZulu. What the IFP had done, however, was building more than 6,000 schools, countering Bantu education, and giving our children more places of learning than exist even today in KwaZulu-Natal. The IFP, through its governance of KwaZulu, provided hospitals, clinics, police stations, and a professional public service, laying a foundation for a new government in 1994. We had established the KwaZulu Finance and Investment Corporation, through which we built KwaZulu's industrial base and provided Black South Africans with the financial services and seed capital to buy farms, start businesses, build houses, and become financially independent. We had established the Mangosuthu University of Technology to provide vocational training that will enable disenfranchised youth to participate in the labor market and find jobs. We had collaborated with business, attracted international investment, and founded Itala Bank. We had pursued a form of a broad-based economic empowerment that invested in business projects in the townships. We had provided South Africa's first social grant to protect vulnerable and indigent families. We had created South Africa's first Department of Nature Conservation, embracing government's responsibility to sustain environmental health long before the conversation had started. And we had placed the communal land of the Zulu Kingdom into a trust to keep it in the hands of the people when communal land across South Africa was set to automatically transfer into the hands of the state in 1994. Today, state-owned land is underutilized and underdeveloped, while the land under the Ingonyama Trust supports millions of people and remains most economically accessible land in KwaZulu-Natal. Thus, the IFP entered democracy with a powerful track record of effective governance. And we didn't stop there. Through our governance of KwaZulu-Natal between 1994 and 2004, and through our impact in the Government of National Unity, the IFP expanded its track record a thousandfold. At last, we had the resources of a democratic government to run the programs and projects that were so sorely needed for development and the empowerment of our people. But resources alone are not enough to govern efficiently. The necessary and efficient condition for an effective governance is integrity. As I close, let me give you an example of where the IFP acted with integrity in its governance of KwaZulu-Natal, in sharp contrast to the lack of integrity on the same issue by the ANC-led government. In 2002, The HIV and AIDS pandemic was a deadly crisis in Southern Africa. KwaZulu-Natal had the highest prevalence of transmissions, yet South Africa's government was in its period of AIDS denialism. The president of the republic then was publicly claiming no link between HIV and AIDS, while the minister of health then was advocating the African potato, garlic, and beetroot as a remedy. Hundreds of thousands of lives were lost because of the government of the ANC that was not believing in taking a hard stance against HIV and AIDS. The government of KwaZulu-Natal, however, was led by the IFP during that time. Our IFP premier, Dr. L.P. H.M. Mjali, undertook to find the most effective treatment and roll it out to everyone who needed it. What he learned was that a single dose of antiretroviral drug, nevirapine, administered to a mother just before giving birth and then to her newborn baby effectively stopped mother-to-child transmission of HIV. Immediately, the IFP's government rolled out nevirapine to all clinics across KwaZulu-Natal. It was free, it was accessible, and it worked. The tide was turned on the HIV pandemic in KwaZulu-Natal, and today, the outcome of this single intervention is lauded as South Africa's greatest success story in the fight against HIV and AIDS. But the ANC government would not follow a suit. Their MEC for health in KwaZulu-Natal, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, actually took the IFP premier to court, trying to stop him from instructing the rollout of antiretrovirals, but the premier's authority was upheld. Then the ANC declared in the Constitutional Court that it was impossible to roll out antiretrovirals on a large scale. They claimed that it could not be done, absolving them from the responsibility of doing it. But the IFP was doing it in KwaZulu-Natal, the hardest hit province of the HIV and AIDS, and were doing it effectively with spectacular results. Our premier was able to join the Constitutional Court case and present evidence that it was not only possible to save life, it was already being done by the IFP in KwaZulu-Natal. On that basis, the Constitutional Court was able to instruct the ANC government to do it nationally, what the IFP was doing in KwaZulu-Natal. They were forced to comply with their constitutional obligation to save life, following the IFP stance on integrity. So what stands between South Africa and another failed government in 2024? The answer is simple. Integrity. We need, above all, to bring principled leadership of the IFP into the new government of South Africa. We need to strengthen that voice that says no to the abuse of power, even when we are the ones wielding it. We need a government that will be bold and decisive to introduce consequence management, uproot corruption, deploy people on the basis of merit, and drive a program of devolving more power to provinces and local government. We need a strong voice of the IFP within the coalition government to ensure that the principle and integrity remain at the core of our country's next government. That is what the IFP brings to the table: experience, integrity, and principle. The IFP has just launched its manifesto 2 days ago with 13 points planned. Our target is to reclaim KwaZulu-Natal from ANC back to the IFP and in Gauteng as a coalition of the multi-party charter, force the ANC below 50% so that the coalition government can take control of the Gauteng province. With Western Cape under the DA, KwaZulu-Natal under the IFP, Gauteng under the coalition of the multi-party charter, we see no opportunity for ANC governing South Africa post 29 May elections. But we rely on the 27.7 million South Africans who are registered as voters. When I look at you in this room, you are people of great influence. There is 14 million people who do not participate in the voting process. The 14 million is sufficient alone to remove a failed government from power. If you look at the statistics, the ruling power in 2019 got 10 million votes. In 2021, got 5 million votes. We have 14 million people who are registered but not participating in the elections. The biggest call we must make in order to save South Africa from being a failed state, let every South African of a good will stand up. 2024 election is either we make it or our country is going to be a disaster. Another 5 years under the current government is hard to contemplate. Therefore, we need every South African to stand up, to mobilize every voter that this year we need to save our country. We need to do it for our own sake, for our children, for our country, and for the generations to come. Because if we don't stand up now, we don't have a country in the next 5 years, as we see that we standing on the brink of being a collapsed state. Thank you very much for listening, gentlemen.